Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the every other week Tuesday night call. We are going to have some fun tonight. I don't know how many people we're going to have. We don't have very many people on the call at the moment, but, you know, it's summertime, and all of a sudden there's four people that appeared all at once. All at once.
Well,
imagine that. Yeah. And I want to check here because I can't remember Larry's number for sure. Larry, is that you at 2593? Evidently, it's not, because I unmuted him or unmuted that number, and they're not saying anything. So I'm gonna mute it back, because he's been on a different number. I don't know what the deal is. He's playing musical numbers on us. You know,
it shouldn't be.
That's the way it goes.
Only got a house number and a cell phone. You know.
Well, yeah, but it's a different cell phone number than the one he had before. That's what I'm saying, because I memorized it. I know the other one. I'm familiar with it, so I don't have to look at the list. But he's been on a different one. So anyway, we'll give a little bit of time here. But today, did you see the email I sent you this afternoon? The chart.
Oh, I sure did. And the one John gave me one too. Yeah. Matter of fact,
okay.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit on this call, and I'm going to do a few things with that article John sent me, because it's unbelievable what they're talking about. It's unreal, man.
Well, there's all sorts of unreal stuff going on, but I think today was the day. I think, and it's got nothing to do with the stuff with North Korea and Trump, because the market finally fulfilled where it had to go.
Right.
Finally. I've been waiting and watching, and, you know, you look at that chart, it's unmistakable what's there, the accuracy of it over years and years and years. And we went within 28 points of the number on the Dow. And it spiked up there at 11:11 this morning, and then it just turned and it just fell. And I mean, that's very, very uncharacteristic of what the Dow has been doing. The Dow has just been holding steady and grinding, and today, as soon as it ran up there and hit that, it just dropped like a stone. So the whole tenor of the market changed. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the way things happen.
Nowhere else. Oh, yeah. All right, so let me get over this, guys. Again, is Terry with us, all our moderators?
Terry's going to be about a half hour late. She called me a little while ago. She's late getting back, and I'll be watching the board, and she'll raise her hand as soon as she gets in, and I'll be able to get her on with us. And Sir John has just joined us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How are you, buddy?
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad you read the article.
Oh, yeah.
The arm is still attached.
Yeah. What happens is, with that article, is that it leads to another, and then leads to another, and then leads to another.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And
yep.
It's terrible. It's terrible when you think about it, because it's nonstop. And I'm going to I'm trying to gear up, and I've had no time, but I got a couple of weeks now. And I want to do our other website, which I've been working on, and Gary's been working on. And I'm going to do a video on that site, and hopefully help promote that and all the nonsense with credit help, you know, credit reduction companies, and how it all works, because most people don't quite understand how it all works when you go to one of these help, what do you call them, companies, John? I don't even know the name of them. Well, you know,
debt consolidation companies?
Yeah, a debt consolidation company. They don't understand how that costs you more money than what you're saving. You're not saving anything. You're actually paying on average 103 to 105% of the debt. And they don't get that. They don't quite understand it. And so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to show all that. Everything I've been hiding for the last 7 or 8 years that I know is a bunch of BS, I'm going to bring it out because I think it's time that it gets brought out. And while it does, I think that that's going to help a lot of people going forward because we are on that precipice. I mean, literally.
Oh, yeah.
On that precipice. Okay? It's there.
Yep.
It really is there.
And one foot and, just slipped on the banana peel on the edge today.
Yeah, they just, people don't understand it. And I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. All that's going to do is make our site go back to the roof. You know, yeah, that's good. But this time, I'm going to be promoting the hell out. Which I've never once promoted a single. As a matter of fact, we've never even been listed on Google, Yahoo. Never have we done any kind of marketing other than on one website, which we've had a banner on for 5 or 6 years, which today I just did not renew the contract with them. I'm not going to talk about that website. It's a great website, and the owner's a great lady, and all that good stuff. But basically, we've done no advertising, zero. But this year, by the time I get back, you know, my last event's in Detroit in 2 weeks, and I get back from that, I'm hitting it, and I'm going to hit it hard, and I'm going to start a funnel and collecting as much information as I can from people, and I'm going to do it completely different from what lies in your debt. And it's just, I promise you, this is going to go to the root. So anyway, with that being said, guys, if you're here for any kind of legal information, guidance, whatever, advice being key, you're at the wrong spot. You need to go on down the road. We're going to have fun talking about legal situations, my new foreclosure that I just got served with, which is great. I get to start a new party here for the next 10 years. I've already been 10, so I'm going to go another 10. I just realized it today. But anyway, again, if you're looking for legal advice, go seek out an attorney. We're not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys. We don't even know what the hell legal advice is. But what we do know is from our personal experiences how to beat these knuckleheads across the side of the head and collect yourself a few bucks while we do it. So that we do know. For sure. And we're happy to share those experiences. So, again, Dave, one of my patent, disclaimers. So let me read the headlines today, guys.
Dave, I'm glad you got that out without me having to preface that.
I Stansberry. If you guys don't know who Stansberry is, Stansberry has been a phenomenal economist kind of guy, has his own newsletter, works for Aurora, but he's right here in Palm Beach, and he has several publications, big money guy, multimillionaire, and is pretty accurate on all his stuff. He really is. And he said, how will we know when the melt-up is finally ending? Because he said this is a melt-up. You're going to make a lot of money as this market is falsely propped up like in 06, 07, and 08. A publication from another debt record has fallen. Credit cards joint student and auto loans, the dullest market in 90 years. That's his headline and that's his tagline. I'm not even opening the email. I'm just reading these emails I got there. Personal liberty, collapse and consequence. Trans toddlers, King John Boone goes on, talks about that, the crux. Canada's entire housing market is on the verge of collapse. I was just up there talking to a bunch of Canucks. As a matter of fact, I had one for an observer at St. Lawrence River, old Jock. That was a super nice guy. Same thing, he felt the same thing. He was right there on the other side and says he can't believe it. And then, of course, John sends me an email today. It says American consumers just hit a scary milestone from Market Watch. Now, this one I'm going to share with you guys. Usually we go into good news, but I got to tell you, this is something that blew me away, and this is, you know, John hit another rabbit hole. Like, I've been kind of ignoring what lies in your debt because the economy, everybody's been bamboozled, and I kind of know what's coming. But I'm not ignoring anymore. I'm going to get ready for this because I'm going to freaking make a killing with this market crash. And I think Dave is too. So, anyway.
I'm planning on making my good fair share.
You got it. They now collectively have the most, emphasize the most, outstanding revolving debt, often summarized as credit card debt, in U.S. history. According to Monday report released by the Federal Reserve, American had an outstanding $1.02 trillion in revolving credit June of 17. This beats the previous record of April of 08. This record should serve as a wake-up call to Americans to focus on their credit card debt. Matt Schultz, and senior industry analyst for creditcards.com, a credit card website. If you feel your debt is manageable right now, know that you could be one unexpected emergency away from real trouble. Revolving credit has been growing at an annual growth rate of 4.9%. One reason? More consumers are getting access to credit cards backed by major banks and issuers in recent months. Now, John, this is what you and I talked about the last call we had together. You, John, you, David, yourself. More than 171 million consumers had access to those cards in the first quarter of 17, the highest number that has had access since 05, when 162.5 million had access. The first time since the Great Recession, lenders have given more consumers with subprime or below average credit scores access to credit cards, according to the credit reporting agency TransUnion. The New York Fed Reserve released a new report Wednesday that showed U.S. collective household debt balances totaled $12.73 trillion in March, surpassing the peak of 12.68. And this isn't the first debt milestone Americans have hit. Recently, the Federal Reserve announced in April that the U.S. had $1 trillion in credit card debt. Consumer hit that number previously in the fourth quarter of 16, but it eased their revolving credit during January of 17. The Fed showed revolving credit consumer hit that $1 trillion again in February and continued to climb. This year, total household debt, including housing, auto loans, and student loan debt in the U.S., also surpassed the 08 peak. While the debt level is similar to the 08, the things Americans are buying on credit cards have changed. I'm not going to bore you with all the nonsense. I'm just telling you, here's how the numbers stacked up. The last paragraph that I'm going to read for indebted Americans in 17. Housing-related debt is down nearly $1 trillion since 08, but auto loan balances are $367 billion higher, and student loans are a whopping $671 billion higher, according to the Federal Reserve. Housing debt has decreased in 08, but mortgages still make up the bulk of the debt, 67%. So that's pretty scary numbers, right? Housing-related debt is down nearly $1 trillion since 08. That's huge, man, right?
It is.
Yep.
That is scary. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, the hedge funds bought them all.
Yeah, that is scary, dude. So think about that. How many, what's the exact, what's the word I'm looking for? If we are down $1 trillion, does anybody understand what it – listen, before I even make the statement, in 05 and 06, in 07, I used to tell Danny, when – and Dave, unfortunately, you're the oldest of all of us. John is right there with me, and Terry's a little older. So our generation, right? But, hey, this is a fact. How many times you growing up – now, don't answer this, John. Let Dave answer. Did you ever hear the word billions and trillions on the news?
Oh, you didn't hear that years ago. It was always millions, and that seemed like a lot of money. And when they got into, you know, several hundred million, then it was like, holy cow.
Exactly, right? So I told Danny, like, in 05 and 06, I said, you know, these guys are throwing the word billions out there. Like, they used to say millions growing up, when we were growing up. And I said 98% of Americans don't even understand how many millions equal a billion and how many billions equal a trillion. And I said, we're only a couple of years away from them throwing the trillion word out there. Because Americans are so desensitized that they don't understand what $1 trillion really is.
Yeah, it's only $1,000 billion.
Oh, is that all? Just $1,000 billion?
Yeah,
$1,000, $10,000, right?
$1,000 billion.
What's a billion?
$1,000 million.
Million, right?
Yeah.
So.
And then multiply it again by 1,000. Yeah.
Right. Right, so you hear somebody say, oh, you know, Donald Trump, or forget Donald, he's a broke son of a gun. When you talk about, like, Bill Gates or what's-his-face from Facebook, and now he's worth, Warren Buffett, he's worth $52 billion. 52. 52. Listen to this number. 52. When a trillion equals $1,000 billion, and he's only worth 52, he's $948 billion away from having any money. Because Amazon is going to be the very first $1 trillion-a-year company in existence. That's the direction it's heading right now. So think about what I just said when somebody says, oh, his Warren Buffett's net worth is $52 billion. That's like saying I'm worth $52,000 and he's worth $52 billion. Really? The gap is so far that it's inconceivable. Because if I was a trillionaire, if Jesse was a trillionaire, and I think I could speak for pretty much all the moderators, and I think everybody on this call, there'd be nobody on this earth going hungry. Everybody would have running water, houses, medicine. Everybody. If I was a trillionaire, because I couldn't spend it all. It'd be impossible. It literally would be impossible, and it would make me hundreds of billions a day. And I couldn't spend it fast enough. Literally, I couldn't spend it fast enough in a lifetime. So there's nothing I could own the earth. That's ridiculous. That's how much money a trillion is. So when somebody says housing is down $1 trillion, does anybody have any idea that the average cost of a home is like $157,000? And how many hundreds of thousands equal $1 billion? And then take that and multiply it times 1,000 to $1 trillion, and it's down $1 trillion? That's like an inconceivable number. Like, how do you do the math for that?
Get a bigger calculator.
I don't know. Maybe my mind's, my mind's screwed up because that's how I think. That's just how I think. Like, holy crap. It's down $1 trillion? Like, you know, what's the market cap, Dave, on the stock? I don't even know a stock exchange. What is the market cap on that total? How many billions?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Right? It's up there. It's not $1 trillion. It's not $1 trillion.
On the stock market?
Yeah.
Oh, it's over $1 trillion. I'm sure it's over $1 trillion. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. I can't trade it, so. I can tell you the NASDAQ futures are down 20 points tonight.
It has, with a market cap of $16 trillion. It's the world's largest stock exchange. Remember, wait a minute. Let me give you some comparison here. The average trading is $169 billion a day. So basically, they have to trade for 100 days to make $1 trillion, roughly, say 85 days or so, to make $1 trillion in trading every day on the stock market.
That's if you made every penny that was traded.
Yeah, that's what's insane. I'm just trying to draw a picture of how critical it truly is when somebody says the market is down $1 trillion in housing, which is the largest expense anybody ever has in their entire lifetime is their home. That's incredible. That's just insane to me. And it's coming crashing. So,
Things are starting to come unraveled, and
Oh yeah.
Today was the beginning of it. The Japanese Nikkei index just opened at the top of the hour when the call started, and it's already down 100 points.
There you go. And guys, it's not going to come crashing all at once. You're going to
no.
see them steal your wealth one chunk at a time, and it's going to happen over the next 2 years, 3 years. But your wealth will be gone. Your 401ks, all that stuff will be gone. It's going to be worth nothing. Period. And I don't want to be the guy, the doomsday guy, but that's just reality. And again, it's not Jesse speaking. Jesse knows absolutely nothing. I'm always the dumbest guy in my group. I'm following guys that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, some of them billionaires. If that's what they say is going to happen. That's why they're protected. I'm just an idiot sitting in Florida. I'm nobody. And I'm watching these guys say, hey, get out of the market, get out of the market, get out of the market. Don't buy real estate, don't buy real estate, don't buy real estate. You know, be heavy in cash. Because when it all hits the fan, when the guy who has the most cash runs the circus. That simple. So, pretty interesting. You know, oh, don't buy cars either. That's like, for whatever the reason, that's Harry Dent's biggest kick. Like, don't buy a new car. Buy a used car right now. Because you're going to get such a good value, and used car values are going to go down because there's going to be so many repossessions that they can't sell them. You know, Harry Dent gets $250,000 a day to talk to these millionaires and billionaires, these hedge fund people. $250K a day. That's his fees. So, I mean, the guy's no joke. And, crazy. And the other thing, Dave, I don't know if you made note of this with the ages, that there's a lot more seniors in debt than there ever was.
Oh, yeah.
That's scary. Okay? Because generally, like my friend, right, they have a little bit of retirement built up. They have money put away. And all of a sudden, they're 68. What is this? 22% are between the ages of 50 and 64. And then another 200,000 borrowers are over the age of 65. Okay? Now, according to this article, the average American couple has only $5,000 saved for retirement, and only one-third, so that's one out of three Americans, are saving money in an employer-sponsored or tax-deferred retirement account. So, it's not looking good, man. That Fed
report, it's not.
Did you read the Fed report, John? I did this morning. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I
pretty spooky. So, you know, it's about to go sideways, Dave, and you saw it today with the market. And you said the market just opened and China dropped 100 points that fast. And it's just,
Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It's down 111 now.
So, 111.
And most of, for the last two and a half months, the Japanese stock market has only traded in about a 60 point range for the whole day. And
wow,
it's already down 111.
Right.
So, hang on to your hat, everybody. We've been talking about it. The day of reckoning has arrived.
Coming. It's coming.
This is where
it
begins.
Let's get on with our good news instead of the negative news. Let's just stay tuned. I'm working on this site, guys, and it's what lies in your credit. .com, because I think that people out there need to understand that if you get with one of these financial debt negotiation companies and some that you hear on the radio, and I always forget the name, oh, we've been around for 20 years and, you know, we'll negotiate the best possible settlement for you and payment, yada, yada, yada. And what happens is most of these companies will charge you a fee every month, whatever that fee is, $30, $50, a percentage rate, I don't know. But they charge you a fee. And whatever that fee is, you're paying that to the company. Then they reduce your debt. Say, you know, you take a $10,000 credit card and they reduce it down to $5,000. And you're making payments for X amount of money. So you've paid interest on that $5,000 over the course of the time that you've paid. you've paid that company X amount of money, and then you get a 1099 from that company under debt forgiveness. You see, so you're still paying 100% of the debt plus the fees plus the interest. You never win. That's the worst way to go. That's worse than a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. So it's always a repayment form where you actually pay more. People never quite get a, you know what I mean, a grasp of that. But that's how it is. That's exactly how it is.
Well, people always look at it from the amount of money that they outlay every month instead of the bigger picture.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's just the way it works. You're never going to get $5,000, $10,000, $12,000 forgiven and not get a 1099 from that company. There's no way. That ain't going to happen.
Yep. And when you do it that way.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're paying 100%.
And when you do it that way, you're not going to be able to argue the 1099 either.
Nope.
It'll be all documented.
Nope. You got it.
There's
better
ways
to
do things.
I want to help people with that. Yeah, and we talked about starting this like 3 or 4 years ago, Sean, all of us did. And I'm definitely doing it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's all about fixing your credit the right way, how to send the letters, how to do it the right way. And start help. Start hell with these companies. That's what they deserve anyway. All right, Dave, let's get on with the good news. I want to eat my cake.
Why don't you eat your cake? All right. Yeah, and Terry has just joined us, and you are unmuted, Terry. Good evening.
I'm here, just barely.
There you go. You just missed all of Jesse's stuff, and I know he's not going to repeat it just for you. So you'll have to go back and listen to the recording.
Yeah, I was interested. I got in on the tail end of, and you're not going to be able to fight that 1099. And I'm like, okay, what the hell did I miss?
You missed it all.
But I tell you what, we got a wild hair late in the day to travel down to Helen and kayak the Chattahoochee. And I haven't done that for a couple of years. I had forgotten how pure, much fun that river is. And Haley was incredible. She's never done the whitewater fast stuff by herself. And she did a wonderful job.
That's good. Good, good, good. All right. Well, if anybody has good news, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue for good news and good news only. I have some really good news. I had another debt collector start calling.
Speak up.
I had a debt collector call me on my cell phone yesterday, and very uncharacteristically, it really pissed me off, and I called them back. They rang the phone twice, so I called them back on my landline, and the gal answered, and I said, what company are you with? And she hung up on me. And I called back, and a guy answered, and I told him, I said, you don't realize it. I said, but you called the cell phone of somebody that'll sue you into oblivion if you don't quit calling his cell phone. Well, what was the number we called? And I gave him the number. Oh, well, I guess that was the wrong number. And I said, yeah, and you better not call it again. Well, guess what? They called it today, and it rang and rang and rang, and I answered it. Hello, 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 hello. Nobody there, and they hung up on me. So we're off and running to have fun. So that's my good news. The other is that I got my discovery from my other lawsuit from the attorney last Thursday. And 48 hours later, I had it all done, sitting, and Terry proofed it for me, as we always tell everybody they should do. And she didn't even find a typo, thank goodness. I guess I'm getting better in my old age. And I'm going to wait about 2 weeks before I send that out to him. But I was able to completely process admissions, interrogatories, and production, and have it all done, the CD burned and everything, in 2 days. So, you know, it's like anything else. When you do this stuff, guys, you can get better at it, and you can have it done pretty quick. It doesn't take as much time as you might think. So that's my good news. I don't see anybody else that has raised their hand for good news. Do any of our moderators have any good news?
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Did they serve you a foreclosure again? No.
Yeah. Yeah, they're giving you another opportunity to make money. Oh boy.
I was muted unpacking stuff from the car.
Yeah, they don't like the fact I already sued the attorney, sued their firm, sued the servicer, sued the guy who filed the suit.
And that's
like
just
to
start. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a quick
that's
grand.
That's just to kick off
hey, listen,
the.
I might get my head stomped in because I have a crooked judge. There's no doubt that could happen.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The reality is.
Well, you are in Florida.
Yeah, the reality is, yeah, the guy already said, hey, man, can we somehow settle this thing? I just don't want to go. You know. See, in Florida, you don't have to have an assignment or anything. The Florida Statute 679 provides that if you're the holder of the note, you can foreclose. Now, if I found it blowing down the street, that's good enough. I'm still holding the note, right? And I can prove I have the note. The problem is these guys come in and they have to boast how they were assigned this note. Well, once it's assigned,
yeah.
Now you opened up yourself for all kinds of litigation. It goes for any kind of debt, credit card debt. It doesn't matter. If there's an assignment there, it's over. So, you know, I have two blank allonges, which is great, none dated. I have the attorney verification, which is great because now his butt's on the line. And then I have an assignment and a corrective assignment. And the whole reason they ran from us last time is because the very first original assignment was assigned to themselves. You see where I'm going with that? So,
yeah,
it was assigned from Michelle, whatever her name was, to Bank of America, which she just happened to be the vice president of one of the branches right there in North Carolina. So she assigned it to themselves, which once we got her deposition, or ready for deposition, they just dropped the case because they knew they were going to lose. And again, this dummy does the same damn thing. So, you know, whether we win, lose, or draw, I've had 10 good years in this house without dealing with those guys, so I'm not complaining. You know, you just can't complain. Not 10 years.
No. No.
Thank you.
Well, you can, but it ain't going to do any good. That's for sure.
Yeah, you ought to be slapped around if you really complained about that.
Really?
You know? It is what it is.
Well, all right. Well, I'm going to look here and see if we've got it. Nope, we don't have any other. We don't have any other hands raised for good news. So. We're going to go to Q&A. If anybody has questions for us tonight, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, and we will be more than happy to try and answer your questions for you. Please keep in mind that in answering your questions, when we say, well, you want to do this or you want to do that, the context in which we're speaking is we're saying that's what we would do if we were in a similar situation to yours. Or if we're in your position, we're not giving you advice. We're making suggestions on what we would do in a similar situation. We never give legal advice. We're not lawyers. We don't even know what it is. So that's the bottom line. Now, you know what, Jesse? Something really interesting I see on the board.
What's up?
There's not one person that's hit the one key with a question.
No way. Come on.
I don't know whether there's something wrong with the board. We don't have a huge number of people on the call tonight, but
if they're done, I'm done. I ain't complaining.
Well, yeah, everybody, if you don't have questions for us, you know, the whole reason that we do these calls is to make ourselves available to help you guys. You know, we don't get paid to do this.
That's right.
This is all freebie time. It's taken out of our lives to help you guys out, to answer questions. And if people don't have questions, we've got better things to do. Like I can watch the futures markets and snag some more money. I just snagged a little bit. But the bottom line is we don't have anybody raising their hands. And I find that fascinating.
Early evening.
We got a whole lot of smart people.
letters. Now we have somebody. We finally have somebody that's. We have somebody that's raised their hand here, and anybody that's got questions, boy, you better be hitting that one key and get yourself in the queue, because we will wrap up the call. We're not going to sit here and gab and make noise for no good reason. Let's go to 856. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello. How's everybody this evening?
We are just fine, I believe.
That's good. And I was in the queue before you finished that sentence. As soon as you said what number to hit, I was in. It's because I forgot which number to hit. But I wanted to ask a question. Actually, I have two. So this is about state foreclosure. And when you are, I want to understand the strategy for an item when they say that I am obligor, comma, and then my first and given name, what would be my rationale for denying that?
That's a good question. I have no clue. If they have something there that has a contractual obligation that you signed, you're going to be hard-pressed getting past that.
You said if they have something there that I signed, it's going to be what?
Hard for you to get past that.
Well, they, you know, in my state, they don't have to connect anything to start the complaint. So they don't have any papers with the complaint.
Well, it's whether they, I mean, you can deny it. But if they come up with the paperwork, then that goes right down the tube.
Right.
Pretty much.
So am I being nitpicky if I deny that because they use the word obligor and that is the first time it's been used?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hold any.
I think the court is going to view that as
obligor is the same thing as debtor, and you know that's not worth
right.
an issue. And the court will decline to play a game of semantics.
Yeah, I the thing that I would worry about is the impression that the court would get. They might look at you as somebody that's just. Being very unreasonable when you deny that you even had the mortgage and stuff, and that can work against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, denying something where there's a chance you might be able to, they might not be able to prove it up is one thing, but something that basic and obvious in things, I have a tendency to think that all that's going to do is get in the back of the mind of the judge and go, you know, well, what's with this woman? You know, what she says she didn't even have a mortgage. Well, you know, they've got the paperwork here. They wouldn't even be in this court, and they can produce it. So I think that would work more against you than it would ever even remotely benefit you, to be honest with you. And I don't see that it would get, you know, get you any extra time or anything. You know, it's not like it would buy you some time like a continuance or something like that. So that's just my two cents.
Okay. And my next question is, what information do I use to determine if I want to do a counterclaim versus a federal lawsuit?
Don't know quite exactly what your question is.
Okay, let me see if I can rephrase it. What would I use to help me decide if in my answer I'm going to do a counterclaim or I'm not because I'm going to file a federal suit.
Nobody on this phone can answer that without looking at all your facts. But on the surface, if there's anything related to the note and the mortgage directly, would be considered a mandatory counterclaim on your part. A debt collection activity, I would file as a federal, because the federal has no jurisdiction over your personal home. And that's where I would file it as a federal lawsuit. That make sense, John?
Yes, it does.
That's the only way I could.
I concur.
Okay, can I just repeat that to make sure I understood? So you said if it's related to the note in the mortgage, it should be a counterclaim.
It'd be a mandatory claim.
Okay.
If it's a debt collection activity, it's not a mandatory counterclaim, and that would go into the federal court.
I got you. Okay. And I'm still researching it, but my stupid state, in July of last year, they passed a darn a law, I think it was 1346, S-1346. It's like where they took the note out of the equation of having a mortgage debt. They keep referring to the mortgage. Nothing about the note. It's like they just took it out the equation, like it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, you could foreclose on the mortgage. You didn't know that, did you?
No. You said they foreclose on the mortgage?
They can only foreclose on the note.
No, Terry, you're wrong. They foreclose on the mortgage. When you sue under foreclosure, or even if it's a non-suit state, right, so non-judicial, you're always going after the thing. It's an in rem action. Mortgage is the lien, so I can foreclose on the lien. I don't necessarily have to foreclose on the payment instrument. I foreclose on the lien for lack of payment. We'll read up on that. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, so that's why my state took the note out the equation.
You got it.
Oh, God, I was going to say something else, and it just left me. I don't believe it. CRS was sneaking in there.
You're not the only one that happens to. I hope that makes you feel better.
Well, it does, but it did. It was like it popped up soon as Jesse said something, and then when it was my turn to speak on it, it left me. That damn CRS, I tell you. Well, maybe if it comes back in time, I'll enter the queue again. Thank you very much, guys.
All righty. Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to say what I said before. If we don't get people hitting the one key and putting themselves in the queue to ask questions, which is why we're here, we are going to end the call. All of us moderators have things to do. We make ourselves available here so that we can answer your questions and help you out as much as we possibly can. It's all about education, but if people don't have questions, that must mean that they've got all the information they need at this point in time, and nobody needs to ask any more questions, but now we seem to have a few people that have popped up. So we're going to go to 518. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Can you hear me all right?
Yep, we got you. Go ahead.
All right. I'm very new to me to this. This is my first
welcome.
Blog radio. Thank you. Where to start? I am starting my second month of not being able to pay my mortgage. You guys have any experience with Ocwen? They're in.
Yeah, they usually roll over. Still experience. I really, really do have.
Interesting. Because
yeah.
There's so much information on your website. Great information. I'm 64, and not saying I'm stupid. It's just there's so much information to absorb, and by the time they warned me, you know, you gotta at least make a payment before the 89th day. I don't feel very secure about handling this by myself. I mean, what do people normally do that? I don't even have enough money to pay a lawyer, really.
That's why you learn yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You learn yourself.
But I don't know if I have enough time.
That's only 2 months.
No,
I've been
the most important thing is, yeah, don't let all the information intimidate you. Don't try and learn everything at once. You got to take a deliberate approach and eat the elephant, as we call it, one bite at a time. And Jesse can give you some suggestions on exactly, you know, given where you are, where you should be focusing your attention, because he's the expert on this stuff. So
yeah,
I'll let Jesse give you an outline.
I'm in New York. And
I think what you're after is you need the beginner, the beginning stepping stones on the path.
Yeah, and best thing I could possibly say is to go watch the Winning at Foreclosure webinar, what they don't want you to know. That literally takes you down a 6-year path from the very beginning, the very, very, very beginning, notice of default, letter, how to respond to that, all the way through the trial and everything in between. Because New York's a funny state. It can be judicial or non-judicial.
It's listed as
judicial. So it depends on how they proceed, huh?
It's listed as judicial.
Yeah, they could be both. Just depends on how they proceed.
Now, does it make sense to try and take care of this in Florida, because that's where they are, or does it not make any difference?
No, you can't. It's wherever the property is domiciled at, which would be New York, right?
Right. I'm upstate.
Yeah, that's where it is. Yeah.
So I've already done the free audit, and I was given an email saying that my computer just died. I forget what actually the terminology was used, but yes, it was.
Securitized?
Yes, thank you. So.
That it was or was not?
Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Before we even answer any more questions for you, because too much information is not good.
Right.
You need to just go watch that webinar. Watch the first 2 or 3 episodes of that webinar, and then you can get a direction from there. I promise you, that's going to give you direction.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
it's
the name
a series
of Winning
webinars.
At Foreclosure.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
The name of it is Winning at Foreclosure.
Winning at Foreclosure. Yep.
Okay. All right. I will do that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes. And then, and then on the forum, if you have any questions, just feel free to ask them there.
Okay.
Yeah, never be shy, and don't feel dumb. Everybody started where you're at.
You got it.
Oh, thanks. It's just,
true.
You know, if I do have to go to court or whatever, I don't know.
Don't worry about
it's
that at this
that
point.
It's not that hard.
You cross,
yeah.
Cross that bridge when you come to it.
Exactly.
Really.
Don't
get yourself caught up in that at this point in time. Like Jesse said, go start into that webinar series. It's there's more than one webinar. It's a series of webinars. So go watch those, and that'll give you a starting point. And at the end of this call, I will announce the call that's on Thursday night that Terry has. I have a call on Monday night, and John is usually on those, and he's very sharp on the foreclosure end of things as well. And then 2 weeks from tonight, Jesse will be back on. So, you know, there's access for you to ask additional questions as you go forward. But you gotta start your journey.
I suggest you write them down as they occur to you when you're watching
right. The
webinars.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay, good idea. Good idea. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, we got you headed in the direction.
Anywhere we can help.
Thank you.
Yep.
How would I get in touch with you? Just by the email contact? I
mean,
is there a way to talk to you by
voice?
Through
the forum.
No, through the forum. You post in, make sure that you put it in the saving your home section in the forum. Because it's the forum is broken down in TCPA and taking their money and all that. If you've got foreclosure questions, make sure when you go into the forum, you go to the saving your home section and post your question in there, and Jesse answers those.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's interim stuff that you can do, you know, later in the week through the weekends and stuff like that as you're studying and working on stuff.
Okay. So second month, I was even thinking about scraping together the money to pay one more month just to kick it out another 3 months. Is that worthwhile or not bother?
I can't tell you what to do one way or the other. All I'm saying
typically
is this. If you pay 1 month, they're not obligated to do anything but credit that to your last bill due, right, for the furthest one out, which will still leave you out a month behind, which the next month they can pull. And plus,
you pay
your way. You know what I mean?
All you're doing is kicking the can a little bit, and they still have the threat over your head. But again, like Jesse said, you know, a lot of it is definitely a personal decision, and everybody's different. But I think I would wait to even think about that until you get through those webinars like Jesse suggested, because from that point on, you know you better than anybody else, and you know what your learning speed is likely to be.
Exactly.
Right. Well, it's just the actuality of how much time. I mean,
I've heard
of people staying in their houses for a couple of years, 5 years after.
Well, it's not like they're going to be able to sweep down and grab your house 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Jesse, tell him how long you've been in your house since you made a payment.
10 years.
Do you think he knows what he's talking about?
I almost lost it. Yeah. So how does that work?
Well, that's
why you need to go watch the webinars.
Okay.
Yeah.
You really need to go watch the webinars and then go from there.
Because, you know, I was torn between either making another payment or paying the $1,000 for the next audit that you guys recommend on the site.
Yeah, I can't direct you either way. All I'm going to tell you is that audit is going to do you a lot better than that. That's all I can say. Go watch that and then make your decision later in the week. No hurry. I promise.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what? Don't beat yourself up. Don't obsess on, because I know where you're coming from, because I have the same, you know, panic. It's a deadline and I'm not going to have enough time. I tend to do that. Dave has to peel me off the wall more than once. Yeah, and literally.
Yes, I have.
And yeah, but I'm telling you, that does you more harm than good. just try to focus on what is at hand right now and what you need to do right now. And right now, you need to go watch those webinars.
Okay. All right. Cause, I mean, I know what I know, and this isn't what I know. I mean, you need
exactly.
to be, if you want to, I could teach
you
how to make gold plating, cyanide gold plating solutions. I could teach you a bunch of other stuff, but not anything
well,
about foreclosures.
Well, it's like anything. Just as a very brief comment, and then we're going to have to keep going because we've got other callers. 6 years ago, I knew nothing.
Along with me.
I have, in 6 years, I have been involved in approximately 150 federal lawsuits, myself as the plaintiff. And I knew nothing.
And I knew nothing.
If
and
I can do that, you can learn.
I managed to set, you know, nationwide precedent and case law for everybody under the FCRA that has been waiting 30 years to be done. And I did that, and 6 years ago, I was with Dave. Me and Dave are a team. We knew nothing.
Wow.
So, you know.
And I'm
and,
proud
and,
that they knew nothing.
we've come,
all
as the saying goes, we've come
together.
A long way, baby. Yeah.
Yes.
So please go watch the webinars. Yeah, go watch the webinars and then come back with questions. That's the best way to do things.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All righty. You're very welcome. And welcome to the bunch.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to go to 954. You have been unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Okay. I remember that last caller exactly how I was about 3 months ago. And you exactly what you had to do, watch the webinars. And here I am.
But you're saying 3 months ago, so you must have had some light bulb moments already then.
Oh yeah, I was hesitant. I wanted to ask all these crazy questions like where do I start? But the truth was I had to sit down and watch it. I had to watch the webinars, and within
that's
a month's time
smart.
I fought. Within a month's time I filed my first lawsuit in federal court, and you know, and now I'm doing it. And I've been asking you guys questions every week when I can, and you know, getting what I can, and still studying. There's no replacing that. You got to do it.
Yep. There's no shortcut, that's for sure, because no one can do it for you.
There's a quick testimonial for the gentleman we were just speaking to. So go ahead with your
question. Exactly.
Questions.
Okay, I have a question on, well, let me just say, Dave, thank you for helping me last week. I went ahead and filed that motion for notice of defendant's lack of refusal to schedule mediation. And so far, it's been quiet. It's been dead silence. It's just like a bomb dropped on the case. And I'm just like waiting, because somebody's got to say something, but they're not doing nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I covered my butt. I can't believe it's all. I put all the emails out there and everything. It just shows he has not responded to one of my requests for anything.
Good.
Court
good.
Is going to take a very dim view of that, I promise.
I can't wait. Yeah, in the meantime, like I told you before, I'm getting phone calls from the servicer that I'm filing the lawsuit for. And I've been just taking pictures of my phone, racking it up. And I answered the phone last week just for the sake of answering it. And the first thing they're out of their mouth was, oh, this is an attempt to collect a debt and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do you realize that I'm engaged in a current lawsuit with you at the moment? And they're like, no, we're not even aware of that. I'm like, are you serious? And this shows
well,
you how one head doesn't know what
employee.
The other head is doing.
No, yeah, because you're talking to an employee. They're not going to know that their company's being sued, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
Probably startled the shit out of them, I'll say that. You know, like, what? You know. Yeah.
Wake
man,
up call time.
Know, you got
yeah.
it.
So my question is this, not to drag this thing on any further. I'm trying to plan strategically what's going to happen soon, because they did file an assignment in public records for MERS finally, so I'm anticipating they're going to try to attempt the foreclosure, because that's what the phone calls were about. Now, when they bring me down to state court in Florida, by the way, so it's here,
yeah,
I noticed Right, the circuit court. So I'm going to, you know, my immediate thing would be filing my motion for extension of time and then maybe a notice of a dispute. But would it be wise, I just don't know this, I haven't figured out the strategy yet. Is it wise to file a TRO in the state court because of this pending federal lawsuit that I've got going on, or do I do that
no.
TRO in
no.
the...
No.
No. Federal lawsuit has nothing to do with your foreclosure. Or shouldn't have
right,
been.
Right. But it's going
to... So one's got nothing to do with the other. Just remember that.
Right.
Yeah, hey, let me throw one thing in here real quick that I want to make sure that you hear this and everybody else that's dealing with this. Make sure when you're dealing with a situation like this with a foreclosure, do not put anything at all in the state court referencing FDCPA or violations of any sort. Absolutely stay away from that. That must stay out in the federal court.
Yep.
That's very important.
Even in Florida, per se, if you put the FCCPA, which is the Florida equivalent of the FDCPA, never put that inside that state district court jurisdiction, keep that with the federal lawsuit in the federal court. Because remember,
right.
No matter what, the you're suing him for the manner in which the debt is collected, whether the debt's valid or not is irrelevant. So it has no relevancy on that. What it is how you collect the debt. And that's what you're suing him for in a federal court. But if you give that damn state court jurisdiction over that, man, they will stomp your head in for no reason. They'll never rule in your face. It's just the way they are.
Because their attitude is, well, it's about the debt. It's your debt. Why don't you pay it? Pay these people. We don't care what they did to collect it. That is what you're going to get at state.
Yep, you're not getting a free house.
Yeah, because the laws that govern what they do when they collect it are strictly federal, and the state has no interest in what the federal law is.
Right. Well, I guess my thinking is I want to stall it as long as possible, just keep them busy down there by motion after motion, whatever I can do, while I'm still, you know, litigating in the federal.
You have your starting scenario all laid out, just like you said, and then you take it from there, depending on what happens.
Why is... Yeah, how do you think that the federal court can install anything? That's the question I have. What does one have to do with the other?
Well, I was just kind of thinking or leaning towards the thoughts that maybe since I have a lawsuit filed against the servicer in the federal, that maybe something could be stalled downstairs a little bit temporarily until it gets adjudicated.
No. Now, how is that federal lawsuit, going to affect the outcome of the foreclosure? That's where I keep trying to get to. So let me make that very clear. What if that does get adjudicated? How does that affect the court below?
Well, if it gets to the point where I can prove or it's judgment in my favor that the servicer has no right for standing to foreclose in the first place, that would be something I could bring down to the state court.
That'll never happen in a federal court.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping you would say. So if you sued them, that's what I was hoping you would say, because that's what every rookie does. See, the federal court has no jurisdiction over that. Zero. All they can say, you have to prove it, is they tried to collect on a debt that they're not legally entitled to collect under the FDCPA and also the FCCPA.
Right.
So if in fact you get that, because and you get the trial and you get that ruling in your favor, then you can come down and say, listen, the trial court has already ruled that they don't have the right to collect on this debt. I'm going to file a motion for summary judgment on them, or a motion for judgment on the pleadings, or a motion to dismiss, or however the hell you want to attack it. The point is, you would have to have that, right? The problem you're going to have is that can take 2 to 3 years if you ever get there. That's an if. Because a lot of these times, they're just going to say, hey, listen, we just want to settle with you. So if you want to create a little chaos, another goal you're trying to get to, okay? There's a lot of ways to skin that cat. And I want to affirm that I agree with you. I don't agree in the path you've taken, but I absolutely agree with trying to do what you're going to do. What you want to do is you sue if you feel that they don't have the right to collect, or you know for a fact they don't have the right to collect, however that is, I can't judge that, that's you. Then you sue the firm, and you sue the attorney personally in that federal court under the FDCPA. You sue the firm and the servicer under the FCCPA because the attorney has litigation privilege under the FCCPA in the state of Florida, but not under the FDCPA, you see? Mm-hmm. So you can sue his firm under both counts. You can sue the attorney under one count, and you want to sue the attorney who's representing the servicer. So now, when you sue the servicer, when you sue the attorney's firm, when you sue the attorney, you've got to say, and you're pleading somewhere, as I have, that you know for a fact that the servicer had to advise the attorney of their right or not, or their intent to try to collect on a debt that they didn't have the right to collect on. And they were trying to pull the scheme. Somehow you got to word that. I can't tell you how to word it, but you get where I'm going with it. Because what happens is the attorney's going to go, hey, wait a minute. They never told me that. And the servicer's going to say, I never said that, or I said that, or something. But you have to let the court know that both of them knew one or the other. That servicer told that attorney, and the attorney accepted it, or vice versa, because you got to put them at end, right at odds. Because there's something in the state of Florida that the attorney has to sign, which is a certification. I don't know if you've seen that or not now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
Certification for what? On the.
Yeah, this is a. Let me get it, because I got one fresh right here, funny enough. I was reading it. The Form A. Certificate of the Plaintiff's Counsel regarding origination of the note and mortgage. Certification of the plaintiff's counsel regarding the status of the residential property, and a certificate of plaintiff's counsel regarding plaintiff's representation at mediation. So there you go. Yep. So they got assignment.
Okay.
What you do is you put them at each other's throat.
Yeah.
Get them fighting amongst themselves.
That's how you solve stuff down there. It creates a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It can get pretty fun.
All right.
It can get downright hysterical. This is just so much fun. It's unbelievable.
Jesse's made a bunch of money off doing that kind of stuff.
I already did. As soon as he filed that foreclosure, my ass sued him. I mean, literally within days. I haven't even responded to this foreclosure yet. No which way, shape, or form. And I've already sued it before. I got $8,000 on their butt.
And that's a...
Yeah.
And that's an independent filing in federal on top of it in conjunction with another case I got?
It's got nothing to do with state.
Okay.
It all goes to federal.
Right.
See, and if you really want to create some chaos, you can sue them. You can sue under the FCCPA in small claims. You can sue under the FDCPA in federal. They cannot have the state claim removed to the federal. And obviously, they can't have the federal removed anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now, that causes... See, what happens is when you do that, that causes the attorney and the firm to have to go get a federally ticketed attorney. They're not cheap. And then it causes the servicer to also have a federal attorney represent them in the federal court. They can't use the attorney they're using right now in 99% of the cases. They have to go outside counsel.
Yeah. It's going to
cost them a bunch of money.
Because right now, there's
start,
a lawyer
yeah.
that, the attorney they got now that's on the federal ticket is, like I said, he's unresponsive. He's not, he's ridiculous. So,
well, but, well, that's all right with you. That's good for you.
In the federal
yeah.
court, if you do things by the book and you bend over backwards to show the court that you do appreciate the rules, the procedures, mm-hmm. and intend to do things properly, and that lawyer doesn't, things are already in your corner because the court does not like that kind of attitude at all.
Yeah. Yep, I can't wait to find out what's going to happen with him. It's just absolutely hilarious. Because on that Friday, he told me he was going to contact me because we had a scheduled mediator, and he would contact me, and he never did. He just said, I will. He kind of gave me a sarcastic tone in his email, and that was the last thing he said.
Wow.
Now it's on the docket for the whole world to see.
There you go. That's what you got to do.
That's hilarious. All right, guys. Well, that's amazing. I'm going to get back to studying. And I'll
Alrighty.
Talk to you guys later when I get something. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot, Jesse.
Okay, you bet. You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's just somebody having fun. All right,
yeah.
We're going to go to 832. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, we got you. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
No complaint.
Okay, good. I have a question in regards to the TCPA. I guess when it comes to revoking consent, would you say that it's
okay.
best to revoke consent like through certified mail, or would it be better to do it by the means of a text message?
I would prefer certified mail myself because it gives me a very easy way to prove that I did it because I've got a copy of the letter and I've got the Postal Service to back it up as to when they got it.
Okay. Okay. Cool. That's the only question that I had. Thank you.
All righty. You're very welcome. All right. And I want to go back and check with Yvonne here. I don't know whether she put herself back in the queue or not. We had you in here. Yvonne, did you want back in the queue and have a question? You remember that one?
Yes, I did. First, I had a contribution. For the gentleman that just joined, I just want to suggest that when he goes to the webinar archive section, that at the very top there is a study guide. And if he prints that out or downloads it and uses it on his computer, he can keep track of what he's studying. I've also found that it provides the tool so that you can do deliberate studying as well. So I just wanted to mention that.
And that's wonderful. And just so the gentleman knows, the young lady that was just speaking to you is the one that was so kind to put all that together for all the members and provide it. And she does a fantastic job of it. It's a great tool.
Thank you. And then my CRS took a break. So I just wanted to clarify. Jesse had said that foreclosing on the mortgage is in rem. That means it's against the property.
No, the foreclosure itself is in rem.
Okay.
So they can foreclose on the lien, which is the mortgage, right? just as well as the milk, either one.
So they can foreclose on either one?
On either one. Doesn't matter.
Okay. So in my complaint, he's like doing three. I think he's asking for the property, and he's asking for money and something else. I forget what it was. But
yeah,
and
exactly
they
for pressure there for financial relief somehow. He's absolutely put himself in the pickle. Because when you ask for the property plus any deficiencies, now it's a debt collection activity subject to the FDCPA. It's no longer just an in-rem action. That's where you can delineate it if they fight you back. That makes
okay.
sense what you just said?
Yeah, Jesse, well, if you
start adding
a
dollars to it, it's over.
I have a question before we get away from it, and I forget. And for the callers, I don't know a lot about the foreclosure issues. I haven't studied that. Jesse, you said they can foreclose on either or the note or
right.
the mortgage. But if that is the case, and we all know that the notes are securitized and off in la-la land somewhere, what is to prevent...
Right.
What is to prevent the holder of the mortgage suing you to foreclose on that, and then the holder of the note suing you to foreclose on it?
They can't.
If you can do either or.
Yeah, but you can't. It's not one or the other. It's one or the other. Once it's been foreclosed, it's foreclosed. There's no way two people can foreclose on the same property. Once you're out of it, it'd be their problem, not yours.
Okay, that was my question, because I thought, wait a minute, that's awful open-ended.
Yeah. Well, you're gone, right? Once foreclosed is foreclosed, you're no longer there.
So then the note holder would just have to take their problem to whoever foreclosed on the mortgage.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
which
if thank
that
you
case,
for...
it wouldn't matter. Yeah, it wouldn't matter at that point, believe it or not, because if the guy was the first one to score, he's the first one to score.
It's true,
really
as in baseball,
up,
you know.
yeah,
thank
really
you for clarifying that.
Yep, it really, really, really is screwed up.
Oh,
so
I'm not
going to
argue that
smart.
Point.
Yeah, he doesn't bring it in. Count one is a foreclosure, jurisdiction of the court, execution of the mortgage. It never does he say this is an in-rem action to foreclose.
I see.
Because if you said that, and I'm reading you just mine right now. Superiority, jurisdiction, foreclosure, all defendants, will spend for close term the amount due to pay under the note mortgage, or the defendant is entitled to recover attorney's fees. Talk, attorney bring in, order of the sum set to court, the property can be sold, not paid in full. Order delivery of possession, we shall be responsible. And a homeowner association assessment. Here, retained jurisdiction. Should have been all discharge liability under subject note provision of the bankruptcy code. So he doesn't really. He doesn't even ask for a deficiency in here. If you can believe that. Yep. Not even a deficiency. This guy's really scared of us. That's fact. I promise you.
Okay, can you repeat for me what you said? The situation is when they ask for the property and deficiency?
That's a debt collection activity. Because what will happen is, and several courts have determined, that if you sue for the property, it's not a foreclosure activity or a debt collection activity. It's an in-rem action for a property. But if you want the property and a deficiency, that's cash, now it's a debt collection activity because it's no longer an in-rem only action.
Right, because
that
deficiency is a debt.
You got it.
Okay, so what does that mean?
That means you go after them. That brings it into the realm of the FDCPA when it's a collection action.
right.
Yeah, that's your FDCPA lawsuit right there.
Okay, and my, and that is because they tried to do both.
Yeah.
Because they tried to collect money. Right.
Okay. Okay.
See, when they're just going after the property, all they're going after is the collateral.
Right. I got that.
So they're not going for green stuff in their pocket and in their hand. That changes the game altogether, and that's where it becomes a debt collection action.
Okay.
I'm learning, Jesse.
Yes, ma'am. Very good.
Now, would that be an additional violation if they asked for the property and asked for the value, the money amount of the property?
No. They're going to have to ask for that. Take care of the lien, right? Just the way it is. It's normal.
Okay. Thank
you. So if you pay the amount, well, if you pay that amount, then you keep the property. You don't pay that amount, you can't keep the property. That's all. Pretty simple stuff. That's what
okay.
they ask for.
Okay, thank you for that.
All right.
I'm out.
All right.
All righty. Thank you, dear. Okay, one more time I'm going to say, if anybody has a question, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, put yourself in the queue. Otherwise, we will go ahead and wrap things up for tonight. We do have another one that popped their hand up here. Let's go to 216. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
I have a question. I'm curious as to how NREM, in the definition of NREM, it says property. How is money not property?
Because it's property, not money. It's exactly. Answer your own question. If I give you a building or I give you a $100 bill, two different things.
Because money is a unit of exchange. A building is not.
Yes, an asset.
Right, but I just thought, I thought, well, in real estate, I have my real estate license. So in real estate, it's property is classified as real property. So that's why I kind of got confused when I was reading some of the rules. I just thought as of money, I do understand that money is a medium of exchange, but I just thought that it was property. I just knew that it was not real property.
Yeah, no. Well, it is my real property. My cat is. Yeah, it's kind of one of them type of deals that, you know, you got to always pay attention to these little subtleties, you know.
Yeah,
that's exactly what that is. It's just a subtlety, you know.
It's one of those situations where you have to split hairs.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. That take care of your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Okay, I don't see any other hands up, so I guess I'm going to go ahead and give out the call schedule, and we will wrap it up for tonight. Thursday night, Terry's going to have a Wednesday call. She just delayed it a day. If you are not on Terry's emailing list and you haven't got the call information, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just say, please put me on the list. She will send a reminder out to you. She does not send reminders out to everybody anymore every week because of constraints on her email and her internet access. So otherwise, if you have been on the calls before, you should have that call information. Her call starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday night. Then the rest of the week through the weekend, for all those people that are members, you can go in and post your questions in the forum. You can study in the forum. There's a ton of information in there that you can learn from, all the Q&A from 6.5 years of stuff going on, well over 20,000 postings in there. And then, of course, next week on Monday night, we start all over again with Dallas Debt Discussion. That's still on TalkShoe.com. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. It is an hour later, and the PIN for that is 54318. And we're here to help you. You have to do it yourselves. You got to do the studying in the website. But when you've got questions, that's why we make ourselves available. We're here to help you. Help yourself.
And
Jesse,
also,
you got the last word, bud.
Dave, before Jesse does that, I will, this Thursday night, I always send a mass email to my entire email list after the call with the call recording link, because that's how free conferencing works. You've got to have that link. So also this week, I will be sending out the ruling PDF for the case that was involved in the article I read last night on Dave's call, the Neil Garfield article about the lawsuit against the bank. I got the PDF today, so I'll be sending that out Thursday night after Thursday night's call for everybody to read.
Okay, yeah, Terry, shoot that over to me because I wasn't on this call last night. So shoot that over to me so I can
I'll send you the link for the article that went with it too, Jesse.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, sweetheart. Well,
okay.
God bless everybody. Have a great week. Terry, I'm glad you're out kayaking. That is a riot.
God, it was
hope
awesome.
Hope you enjoy your time with your granddaughter. That's right. You can't replace some good time. So.
Well, today is her 9th birthday, and we had her party on Saturday, and she got her first personal kayak for her birthday, and we were a little nervous today because she's never done white water by herself, and that's what that river's all about. She was phenomenal. She was just phenomenal.
You know, I dig all that stuff with the kids and grandkids. I love that. But anyway, you guys have a great week. Again, thanks to our moderators. We can't do it without you.
Keep your arm up. You're doing better.
Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you Thursday night.
Good night.